gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe. Here in this great hall of justice are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Time Out Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dad Time Out Podcast, or as we like to say, the Dad Time Out Show. That's who we are on Twitter, at Dad Time Out Show. I'm MK, and I'll be your tour guide through this and many of our future broadcasts. I am a father of three and a proud parent, and I'm part of a tremendous online parenting community that we'd like to talk about many times over. Our mission statement is fairly simple. We just want to celebrate the positive, the funny, and the trials and tribulations of parenting in 2017, 2018, and beyond. For a few years now, I've been following and eventually befriended many amazing dads and moms online in dozens of ways. And in this podcast, we hope to have some fun, showcase some amazing people, share some insight, and most importantly, have some fun. I was inspired by some great folks at Life of Dad, Dad 2.0 Summit, The Good Men Project, Fatherly, and many, many more, including all the great mom blogs out there and all the supporters. Very inspiring, very talented, very creative parents out there. And we are thrilled to finally launch this after a couple months of prepping and planning and thinking, and maybe not really, but that's kind of what we did. So I am thrilled to have some yik-yaks and giggling dads in the background. So without further ado, let's make our way around the initial Dad Timeouts podcast. Let's see. For those of you not in the room, here's who is sitting by my right.
Hello, I'm Mark. I'm a father of four, 18, a daughter, 11 son, 7 girl, and 3 boy. So 4 kids altogether. A perfect set, 2 and 2. Right now I'm a stay-at-home father. I'm also a musician, own a record label and a recording company, but my time is spent mostly with my kids and getting them to and from and all that good stuff.
My name is Ben. As a musician also, I can reinforce at Mark that he's definitely a part-time musician. Because the only, there's no other such thing, my friend. Right. I'm a dad of 3, live in the East Bay. I'm a little confused about what I do, but I'm a creative. I'm a musician, photographer, and I own a venue. And that's this week. And, yeah.
Hey, I'm Chris. I'm a California native and a father of 2 girls. My oldest is 12 and my youngest is 8. I've worked at the same tech company for the last 20 years, so and a bit of a self-proclaimed tiger dad.
Well, and we're Bay Area. We're kind of all creative. We're industry guys, so to speak. Well, Chris is kind of that tech guy at your industry creative place, but that's fantastic. But we are all California dads, and we all have how many kids between us?
I think 12 was the last count.
12?
Four, I think three, there was one more two, since we started.
3.
But the way he was saying it, he's like, I've 10, got 12. 7 girls.
That's 12.
8 guys. Yours is confusing. Girl. You're very confusing.
Nobody cares how old your damn kids
total
are.
Total count.
Oh, I cussed. No.
Nobody cares how old your kids are.
Let's clear that up moving forward, because it sounded like you had a tribe of children in Utah, and I wasn't really prepared for that. But yeah, we are dads. We have a lot in common. We mainly kids, and we're all different types of dads. We are involved a lot in the creative endeavors, so that kind of makes it interesting. I am long story short, but I am a permalance dad in the entertainment industry, meaning I spend a lot of time at home. I am the chauffeur hat during the week, and then I break out and I'll do a show on the weekends. I also do some other things professionally that allows me the freedom to spend a lot of time with my kids, because I wanted to be a dad that was there through thick and thin, and I enjoy the school stuff. I enjoy the athletic stuff. I enjoy the artwork and the volunteer. Like, I really thrive and love that stuff. So that's kind of who I am. But we do have a lot in common, a lot of age ranges to discuss as well. We're going to be breaking down several different topics. We're going to go through dad jokes, and we'll have fun with tweets and commentary, and we'll have a discussion article every week. We'll also go through our fastball topics, where we'll break down 4 topics quick, like kind of like PTI. Where we'll have about 2 or 3 minutes to discuss them, and that'll be a lot of fun. And then at the end, we'll roll out a good dad quiz to just kind of round it out. And we'll give a lot of thanks and praise to the good people that helped us along on the creative side. And I'm gonna have a tasty beverage in between that. I think one of the things that always cracked me up, there's amazing people on Twitter, right? Amazing parents, a lot of great accounts. Some dads, like Exploding Unicorn, James Breakwell, has well over a million followers. And his stuff is fantastic.
It's time for dad jokes.
What's the leading cause of dry skin? What's the leading cause of dry skin? Anyone?
Imagine.
Under moisturization.
Yeah, my lotion ran out of the wind.
Winter wind. Yeah. Tiger Dad speaks. The answer is towels.
Oh,
the answer is towels.
Huh? So close. Oh, yes. So towels. Close.
You can use that. What is the leading cause of dry skin is towels. It comes to us from Bad Dad Jokes.
It's true.
Bad Dad Jokes.
Fantastic.
It's a good one,
funny
right?
Because it's true.
It's a very fair handle.
It's very fair. One more, and then we'll move on to our next phase. Want to hear a joke about paper?
All right.
Yeah.
More than anything. Might as well.
Never mind.
Do we have a choice?
It's terrible.
Oh. That's not bad.
That's a bad
joke. Really good.
That will break the stand up. Yes. Push the clown to the side and roll that out, and you will win the 8-year-old hearts.
Nice.
So that was our dad joke, and that came to us from at Fawcett, F-A-W-C-E-T-T, underscore Matt, on the Twitter. Every week, HuffPo puts out, or every week or so, the funniest tweets from parents. I always enjoy these. My kind of side goal is to maybe get on there someday. Who knows? I'm not funny.
You're working funny. On it. You're getting there.
This is from James Breakwell, Exploding Unicorn, one of the funniest guys on Twitter. He says, 3-year-old, I ate my whole taco. Me, that's great. 3, and I wasn't scared.
Scared of that.
Deadpan, bravery comes in many forms.
That's a good one.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, tweets don't come out as well as when you read them.
No.
So I'm taking creative integrity on reading some of these amazing people.
That made me weepy.
I just, I'm not there. I'm not at that level. I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Well, here's one that maybe we will be. This is from Myr, M-Y-R-R-H. I never love my children more than when I've had a glass of wine and they're soundly asleep.
Now that I understood.
Right? All right, hold on a minute.
Hey, cheers to that.
That is for at IXIX82. Good job, Myr. That'll take us out of our tweets of the week. We hope to tell them better moving forward, but there are some great stuff out there. There is some great stuff out there. And we want to recap it and celebrate some of the funny. Smart articles by smart people. Because it's not me, and I just send you links, and then I let you guys talk about it, and I have really nothing to do with it. But it's something we can all kind of deal with. It was an article that came through NPR, and it was 5 things to know about screen time right now. Ours, it's interesting. We have 3. We have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old. The 3-year-old recommended is no screen time, period. But how do you avoid that when you have a television and you're trying to pacify your 7-year-old and getting through 22 minutes of an episode while your 10-year-old's watching? So we've kind of set some limits around it. For instance, never at the dinner table for us, never in the bedrooms for us. And if they are on their iPads, they must be in the living room. It's a very like deep subject with a lot of different directions we can go.
Yep.
But Mark, with your range of kids, how do you handle it? And then we'll just kind of go around the table.
Trying to limit the screen time for the 3-year-old is absolutely the case. Essentially, the kids have to get their homework done and they got to get their other chores and things around the house done before they're allowed to have screen time. And then we limit it. So they do have Kindles. We have those on lockdown so they can use it for a brief moment. Television, we try and keep it down to maybe 30 minutes or an hour a night because, you know, there's homework and there's sports and other activities that they do. So And we try and play and have time without the TV on. As you said, nothing at the dinner table, nothing in the bedrooms. Everything is pretty much monitored.
How about you, Ben?
Screen time is approached as a privilege.
Yes.
Not an a right. So we can take it away easily.
Yes.
And then except when we're on a trip, my Lord, watch away.
Oh, yeah.
Here to San Diego, 4, 5, 6 movies, however, whatever it takes. But yeah, at home, it just approaches as a privilege, not their right. And I think that's kind of the main point.
Do your kids have to kind of earn time?
No.
Or not necessarily,
but it's keeping it something special versus something granted. You know what I mean? Like, otherwise, it's just like, yeah, our 8-year-old will just, she'll zone out for hours on end, and we'll just find her, you know, dirty with popcorn days later let her. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I find myself in this weird turf because I produce some television, and, you know, when I come home from a show in Los Angeles, I worked on, like, the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. I want my kids to watch. I want them to enjoy television, I teach them about the process of television and showbiz and how many people work on that show. So it's almost a weird territory for me when I'm saying, hey, I've got a new show coming, or this is my friend Brooklyn's show. It's this Disney show.
Sure.
So, yeah, I fall into weird category there. But
as long as they don't watch as much as me, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we have hard outs, too. Yeah. Like, we definitely shut them all down at one point. And, you know, I talked about the areas of the house. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, like, I definitely, you know, for my work in the industry that we're in, we do graphic design, and we design a lot of the iPhone and screen apps for TV. So, like, for my day job, I'm actually thinking about how to make these kids watch TV longer and so how do you design these applications to make it stickier and to make the next video play so that, you know, that they don't have to start choosing again. But, you know, at home, we definitely take it to the extreme, like you were talking about. You know, using it in terms of the, what's that?
You're banging on the table.
Oh, am I banging
it's
on the
table? It's going doom.
Oh, sorry.
Stand by. I know why.
Oh, okay.
It should be okay. It was touching the table. So that's the problem.
Oh, I noticed that earlier. Okay. So we were saying that it was your fault for that our kids watched.
Right. Yeah, thanks, so that's Chris. Part of the day job. But at home, you know, we definitely... You know, we probably take it to the extreme in terms of doling it out as a reward. We have, like, a system of minutes per screen time based on, like, they're doing stuff like chores around the house and stuff like that. But in terms of, you know, with two girls, my biggest concern is just, like, the content that's out there. You know, I'm, like, really most freaked out about them stumbling upon any kind of thing that even just from the spam that they get. And so we have, like, all kinds of lockdowns, like, even just on the router, on the device, every parental control that is in existence, I'm pretty much set those on the, like, the most strict setting.
Yeah, it is interesting because I'm just getting into that turf. And this is a very heavy, longer tail subject that we can talk about in a future episode. But I agree, like, you go YouTube, it can get very dark very fast, and it feeds itself. Now we have YouTube Kids. Now that's even been infiltrated by some shady things.
Yeah.
So we are really getting better at finding the overall lockdowns and really monitoring each device as it goes, not just time, but what exactly. I mean, when it first came out, it was like Net Nanny and a couple others, but that doesn't really put up the firewall you need to have anymore.
Well, even with the YouTube Kids, you know, like you were saying, like they will watch 3 perfectly good kid shows, and then all of a sudden this, like, weird, like, you know, cartoon self-made one where they're killing each other cartoons come out, and you're like, man, those snuck by. So I think, like what you're saying also, like, I think the real solution is just making sure that it's in the living room, everyone can kind of see it, we're all doing it in an open space so that there isn't really the closed door and things like that, and if things pop up, then you can really have that discussion about it at that time. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a crazy time.
And it's a crazy time.
We have a list for our nanny, only what they can watch, not like whatever, not what they can't watch, but we just have like the babysitter. They can only watch what's on the list.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, I never thought of that. Our kids are pretty honest. If they see something that they don't think, or again, this could go on forever, but even if you're watching a game and a trailer for a movie comes on and it's way It's gun shooting. It's violence. It's action. So that's hard to protect from. But I love that. But my kids will. They'll say, hey, this is showing, and I don't think we should. So at least we're there where the trust factor's up a little bit. I know we're not to the teenage world, which, Mark, you've already been through once.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and for adults, too. I was watching The Bachelorette, and this very scary movie ad came on.
Well, are you not okay with that? Are you admitting that?
Stay with me.
You don't watch The Bachelorette?
Nobody can see.
No, but some of those trailers, they're pretty scary. And I don't like horror movies.
I don't like horror. I'm not okay with horror. I watched one horror movie when I was 12, Pet Sematary 2. I still have bad dreams. I'm 42. So not okay with it. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, so I'll tell you what. When that horror movie ad comes on during The Bachelorette, I'm not okay with it.
It's an interesting time, though, that because, like, what screen time really is that there's so many different screens. Like, you just rattled off, like, five different screens, so it's not just the TV anymore. They have, like, the phones and the iPads and the Kindles.
And the Wiis.
And the Wii, yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. And then you can get video on all of them as well. So it's just much harder to get, stay on top of everything. That's
very true. Yeah. Which is why you limit the amount of time on the device, because you got to hope that during that limitation you're protecting them from something they maybe shouldn't see. And to your point, my kids actually will call each other out if there's something that they're watching that's inappropriate. So there's a lot of tattling going on. You're not supposed to be watching that. Oh, it's fantastic.
And it's not even because they care about each other's well-being. They just want to tell on each other.
That's better than net nanny.
They're policing each other. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. I kind of like the end spot of Pet Sematary and The Bachelor, but thanks for the additional Bachelorette. Excuse me. There's a difference. Great stuff, guys. This is going to be the meat and potatoes of hopefully, you know, each and every podcast moving forward, because I think there's some really big topics that we can tackle. All right, so our next segment's called Fastball. This, we're going to go through topics, kind of like bases. Get it? Fastball, bases. See what I did there? Mm. We're going to talk about topics kind of all over the map, and we'll just see where we land, but we'll move through them fast and efficiently. Our time limit on each is 2 minutes and 30 seconds, if we can hang with that. First topic up, car line. Do you know what one is? Have you dealt with one? And what's your biggest pet peeve about car line, otherwise known as school drop-off or school pickup?
Oh, car.
Car line.
Right.
I deal with it twice a day, morning and afternoon. My biggest pet peeve is people who open their trunk to put backpacks in. I don't understand how an SUV can't accommodate a backpack of a child.
Some of those backpacks are big,
My kids have them. I just don't quite understand that. And also, you got the people who decide that they want to stop at... So at our school, they have cones, and each cone has a kid from sixth grade, which is where my son's class is, and they go and fetch the children to bring to the car. And what I don't understand is when somebody like sits at a cone and doesn't move forward. You're supposed to always roll forward, even if your kid is walking to your car.
You sound pretty pissed about this. I'm going to take it for you. First of all, some of us...
let them out of the car.
You do it twice a day. You got it,
Mark. Don't stop. Just roll. Like... Get out. Get out of the car. I'm not stopping.
Grab and hold.
Tuck and roll.
Well, some of us care about the environment, so we bike to school every day.
Hold on,
back up. I drive a Yukon, a normal Yukon. Okay, so that's definitely, I'm just trying to be funny because I live in the East Bay and maybe somebody will see me or hear me and I'm scared they'll know I drive a Yukon. I bike to school, so can't relate to car line in any capacity because I care about the environment.
Well, I do the drop off.
Bike line. No, dude. Bike line. And everybody's sizing each other up. Like, what's up? You walk. What's up? You bike. Cool.
There is a pressure to, you know, be cool. Green. There's a lot of pressure to be green, for sure.
For us, it's because school's 4 blocks away.
Hey, we still drive 4 blocks, you know.
Okay.
But we do the drop off too, and I think living in a place where there's only one bridge off of the island and there's 3 elementary schools, it just gets backed up. And when it rains, no one's walking or driving, so that really backs things up. So I'll start checking Waze just to see what the best route is off the island. And oftentimes I'm driving like 8 miles out of my way just to beat to go around that standstill car line.
Hey, kids, don't text and drive. Hold on. Let me check Waze.
Right.
Yeah. 18 minutes? Ridiculous. All right, we're going to go to Winter Olympics. Did anybody catch them? Ben, you were on some island in Europe recording music, so I know you probably didn't see them.
Holland's not an island.
Oh,
okay. It's okay. It's his whole country.
And their fair share of medals,
Holland's not an island.
It's got water.
But close enough. So you think because I was in Holland that I watched the Olympics in Korea. Fine. That's fine. But no, didn't catch any. That I was busy recording an album, rock album, putting on my rock and roll hat, pretending to be relevant.
Hashtag plug. Mark.
Oh, I didn't even say the name. Wolf Hunt.
Olympics.
You know.
The name of the album, Olympics.
I was explaining to my children that the Olympics only happen, well, the Winter Olympics only happen every 4 years, summer every 4 years, and that they really should focus on the fact that they're not going to be able to see these sports unless they watch, you know, ESPN or ESPN. Two or whatever,
I'm
ever.
See curling and so, what was it?
What was interesting was the fact that
come on, that was great.
After I played it for them, for you know, at night after night after night, they really started missing. Like it ended, and they were like, "The Olympics are over." I'm like, "Yeah," and you're not going to see the Winter Olympics for 4 years.
Dude,
I'm like, look, you're 7. You're almost 8. You're going to be 12. My son, you're 12. You're going to be 16. That's like it's like 4 years, man, and so they ended up.
I gotta say, it's the only thing I've ever watched together with them. It was the Olympics. Like everybody's into it. Something weird about it.
Yeah, that's good family stuff.
Good family stuff.
Oh,
it was in real time. A lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So that was fun to watch. Yeah, and then
absolutely.
The good part too. Curling, which was one of my favorite moments.
It's not
Olympics.
Your new favorite sport.
The curling was epic,
the kids
right?
Love curling now.
They were all sound asleep. Dude. We replayed it in the morning, but my wife and I got to enjoy that one 5-pointer that just took it over the stretch.
Round was it 8?
I was like 4.
There's an indication
round 8.
There's an indication that curling is not a sport, and that's because they call it themselves. They say we played against them like a game. You know, like these. These like very unathletic looking men just said we play. I'm sorry, dude. It's not a sport.
It's like chess.
I might have the U.S. curling team show up on my door. Very mad.
That's very looks very rigorous. That you know, strenuous. Whatever, the brooming. The brooming.
It was amazing, right?
And working your legs around those.
I can see I'm alone here, and I stand by.
I put this out. I think I put it out on the Twitter. It was like your bowling buddy. His mustache friend.
Yeah, with the hat and everything.
A guy from Minnesota and another guy from Minnesota. There's U.S. curling.
USA. He had a nice mustache. That's about it.
The bus, it was phenomenal.
Custom shoes, man. Yes.
Finally, even though we blew that one out of the water time-wise, let's talk about Girl Scout cookies coming to an end.
So, yeah, for me, about a month and a half of not parking in my garage because of the cases of Thin Mints and Do-Si-Dos, and then the annual guilty bringing them to my work and schlepping them and trying to hit up my coworkers to guilt them into buying a few boxes.
How many... did your girls set the goals? Did they set goals? What were their goals?
Well, my younger daughter is the only one now. My older one, I guess, aged out of the selling or something like that.
No, but, they can sell till they're like 18.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she didn't do the selling. But my younger daughter, she's a brownie now. But, yeah, she wanted to sell 240 boxes.
Did she hit it?
Oh, yeah. She hit it. Fantastic. I sold 240, so she sold about 11.
That's
the rest.
So
I think
my daughter actually sold I think 300 boxes of cookies, and we actually made her sell them herself.
Nice, nice.
So we didn't have to schlep at all this year. It was amazing.
You never see the door to door anymore. It's like
we do door to door.
Did you do door to door?
We did. Yeah, we did door to door.
And we live on a busier street too. And my kid's a little hustler. So she got out there, and it's kind of like a drive-through, and people could pull up, roll down their window, and she'd ask them, and it was just boom, boom, boom. The commute hours was ridiculous.
Dude, that's like the people who wash your windshield, kind of like that.
Kind of like that.
Your daughter.
Except with Do-Si-Dos, tagalongs, and Thin Mints.
And chiclets.
Yes.
What
I don't
have to go to Mexico.
All right, so that was Fastball, and... it's time to head down to the home stretch. We're going to get into a little thing we call the parent quiz, parent trap, parent trivia. We'll see how much you know or how little you know about current things that your kids are probably watching, listening to, or not. We'll see. Hmm. All right, so it's 4 questions, and you will each be scored and we will see who the champion of this podcast is. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The Oscar-nominated Boss Baby. Has anybody seen it at the table?
Parts of it, of course. Nobody watches a full kid movie.
I slept through that one.
I didn't watch it at all.
All right, fair enough. But here's your question anyway, because I don't care.
No, are we just shouting answers out?
Alec Baldwin, of course, was the Boss Baby.
Of course.
Jimmy Kimmel played the dad. Which Friends star played the mom?
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer.
Was it Courtney Cox?
Yes.
You didn't know the format.
Was it Lisa Kudrow or was it Jennifer Aniston?
Do we just shout the answer?
Yes.
Lisa Kudrow?
Mark?
I haven't seen it, but I'd go with Jennifer Aniston. Just one of
Jennifer Aniston.
We're all cigar. Come on.
The correct answer is Lisa Kudrow.
Oh! Phoebe. The one from...
Wow. That guy. All right, so that's 10 for you and 10 for you. Now we'll move on, sticking with the movie category. We're going to go to Ferdinand. Ferdinand and the Flower is the name of the kid's book. Now an Oscar-nominated movie. What NFL quarterback voiced a character in the movie Ferdinand? Was it A, Tom Brady, B, Russell Wilson, or C, Peyton Manning?
Wow.
Kids movie.
I go with Peyton Manning, C.
Yeah, Peyton Manning. He's kind of a media...
I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Interesting.
Really?
The correct answer, fun fact, Tennessee Volunteer alum.
Oh.
Yeah,
Peyton Manning. So there
yes,
it is.
Peyton.
Indianapolis Colts and Denver Broncos. It is Peyton Manning.
Of course, yes. Man. He's in every damn commercial, of
and
course.
Nationwide.
Yeah, and like, so my.
You've seen him on SNL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's awesome.
In a conversation with my 8-year-old today, he was asked a question. If you were going to a desert island and could only bring one of these items, would you bring a donut or a cupcake? What was his answer? Donut or cupcake?
Cupcake.
Donut. Is it what you said, your son?
Yes.
Yeah, donut.
I don't know, desert
pretty
island.
Confident about that.
Desert island? I'm going to go cupcake.
I shouted cupcake, man.
I'm
all about cupcake.
That's more about survival. Donuts.
more calorie.
Yeah.
The correct answer is donut.
Oh!
Was it really
man,
a doubt,
I was so
dude?
Sure.
Think about talking to your son. Hey, son, do you want a donut or a cupcake? What is he going to, I mean, just a normal day to day.
Wow.
It's the year of the cupcake.
How dare you?
Have you tasted how good cupcakes can be?
I love cakes. I'm talking about talking to a little guy.
Plus, the cake, could you reuse that?
Here's the final question of the week. According to the website Metal Floss, which of the following Lego sets is the toughest to build?
I'm out.
A. You can use logic to solve this, but okay. You're never out.
Never touch the Legos.
You're never out of this game.
I think you can choose.
Is it A, Ghostbusters Firehouse, B, Ultimate Collector's Edition Millennium Falcon, or C, the Eiffel Tower?
Millennium Falcon. Sounds like a lot of problems.
Yeah. It's definitely
Millennium Falcon.
Absolutely. 100%.
Final interesting. Answer. Final answer?
Final answer.
Yes. Final answer.
The answer is Eiffel Tower.
Oh, dun, dun, so that dun. Being the last question means I might have won.
Really?
Three
Eiffel
points.
Tower?
3,428 pieces, 4 feet tall, and most
sense.
Of them are gray.
Does it have
sense.
Light speed?
I'm not going to lie.
Most of them are
hold
gray.
Hold on a second.
That's awesome.
Millennium Falcon, Eiffel Tower. It's a triangle. You know, like the Millennium Falcon's got like photon torpedoes.
And you, got the unders. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, so that wraps up our parent quiz. Great job, gentlemen, as always. It's a three-way tie.
Who won again?
You didn't say the winner.
Good.
Three-way tie.
We all did poorly, I think.
I'm going to be honest.
We're all winners. We all get a trophy.
I just winners. That's yeah. Another topic for another conversation.
That saying is for losers.
All right, so that'll wrap up our parent quiz. Good job, everybody, and thanks, guys.
That was a good time. Right.
Yep.
Right, round one, inauguration. Cheers. Right,
cheers.
Cheers.
Do we want to mention that?
I think we're going authentic podcast. We are sitting in a garage.
We are in a garage.
Yeah. We are the Dad Timeout Show at Dad Timeout Show on Twitter. And also, Mark, where else are we?
We're on Facebook, Dad Timeout Show on Facebook. We're also on the World Wide Web at dadtimeout.com.
All right, once again, thank you guys so much.
Inaugural podcast number one.
It's been fun. Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Show talent right
here. I think we are walking in the steps of giants being here in a garage. We want to thank all the great contributors out there. We will scour the web, but also feel free to submit anything funny to us at That Time Out Show on Twitter. And we will put you on, and we'll give you a shout-out. We are very excited to kick this off, and thank you for coming along for the ride. Have a great week, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers. Take care.
Bow. Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.